Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to the Gamer Rage podcast. And for this week's topic of discussion, we brought on a brand new guest. We have Pern from Calgary.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And so this week we decided, because what I've heard is that, Pern, you really enjoy competitive games. I hear you're really good at Rhythm and Apex. That's what I hear.
Yes, Rhythm games, Apex Legends, and Valorant, so shooters and Rhythm games.
Why don't you tell us a bit more about yourself, and we'll get into like why you like competitive gaming.
My name is Pern. I'm 26 years old from Calgary. Been gaming for quite some time, since I'd say I was about 3 or 4 years old, when I went to an internet cafe in Lebanon. Since my family lived there, we'd always go to the internet cafe and play games until the wee hours, and one of the games that they had on there was Counter-Strike. So it was really fun to play with my cousins and kind of as a social gathering thing, go to the internet cafe and just sit there. And since the village was super small, our parents really never bothered us about it. So we just got to play for hours and hours, and I really loved the game.
That's awesome. And that's kind of where everything started for you?
I would definitely say so, yeah. When we moved back to Canada, I was like begging my parents to just like get me Counter-Strike or a computer that could play something similar, because we had nothing like that back home. So
when did everything really pick up for you in terms of getting into competitive gameplay?
I would say it started around 2005. So in 2005, I got my first laptop that was able to run the game somewhat. And I used to play these like online scrim servers. So it'd be like a friendly 5v5 competitive thing with whomever was online at the time, and I started to just pick it up very quickly. I found it was really fun. I would always just, you know, be at the top of the scoreboard, so I'm like, you know, this game is awesome. I'm so good at it. I love it. And I started to just sink so many hours into it. It'd be 4 hours, 5 hours after school. I'd start putting off my homework to play Counter-Strike. Obviously, until my parents took away the laptop because they realized it was kind of affecting my grades. But I'd say 2005, about 10 years old, when it started picking up.
So when did you really decide that you were the kind of competitive guy? Like, you really liked trying to shoot for the best instead of just going on, having a hoot, you know, play a game, have some fun, and then hop off. You wanted to be like, you know, best of the best.
So I think this is like a combination of both rhythm games and shooters. So in 2009, there was a Flash site called Flash Flash Revolution. It's just like DDR. The dance game with the four arrows, except for your keyboard.
Right.
And they had this online tournament where they would place you in a division based on your skill, and then you would compete with everyone else around the globe to win the tournament. And it was just like a elimination playoff style thing. And I won that tournament in the fifth division out of 7. So I was just like, this feels so good. I was the best in this division. I really liked it. I got a t-shirt that I wore to school like every single day because I was so proud of myself, that said FFR champion. All the kids would just laugh at me and like, look at this nerd, he's wearing his little video gaming championship t-shirt. And it was kind of that moment where I realized it's so fun to just be the best at something, or like strive to be the best. So I just wanted to push to always be better than everyone else at a video game, like no matter what it took.
And where was the translation from, like, rhythm games to shooters for you?
So, I kind of realized as I was going through high school that rhythm games were really not that popular. So, despite the fact that I was really good at them, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to just play rhythm games, find tournaments, find events where I could perform at. But with shooters, there were online leagues with people around the world. There were servers that were just running tournaments and scrimmages every single day. So I just thought that there was more opportunity to like take it to the next level. And then in my mind, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to be a gamer when I grow up. I kind of want to be a professional gamer. And it wasn't something that was really popular. So I kind of wanted to be someone who defied all the odds and did it. So I went to shooters instead.
Okay. So I guess we can move on to our thoughts on like the actual climate of, you know, esports and how big it's gotten and, you know, where it might go.
So in the past number of years, we've seen this huge boom in not only esports gaming just being a more public thing, but also the growth of people trying to strive for being in esports on Twitch, on YouTube, on Mixer when that was still around.
Oh yeah, and, I remember Mixer.
Yeah, right, throwback. It has become so far into the mainstream esports that it's now being televised on ESPN.
Yeah.
And does that seem surreal to you? That now the thing that you were just doing a little bit more so casually as a kid is just this worldwide phenomenon today?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Because, you know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't expect this stuff to be on TV. You know, I would say anywhere from the last, 5 to 7 years, Twitch was just, starting, just in TV, and nobody knew about it. You get a few hundred people watching you play games, and now you're on a big screen. You have these huge companies that are sponsoring you. E-athletes are being sponsored by Nike, and they're being sponsored by G Fuel. They're being sponsored by Logitech. All these huge corporations are just backing it. So it's just unprecedented how big it's gotten.
And Jeffrey and I were talking before we started recording, but the Tokyo Olympics have an esports category now, which is insane. I don't know how many games are being actually played, but I remember seeing a YouTube video, and it was a guy trying out for Gran Turismo Sport, which is a racing simulator, and you had to go in, you had to make a lap time, and if you can make a really good lap time, then you'd be entered for the Tokyo Olympics, which, yeah, looking back at 10 years ago, you would never expect, you know, gaming to become something as big as it is now to be included in the Olympics of all things.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. It's probably on the biggest world stage of sports, and to just have it compared to, you know, physical sports, things that we would never expect. Mm. That we never expect to see Street Fighter and Valorant and Counter-Strike right beside, you know, the long jump, swimming, cycling, weightlifting. It's just surreal that people have kind of started to appreciate and kind of give attention to a different side of athleticism, I guess, even though it's not physical activity.
But it's crazy to even think about the fact that gamers are being considered just modern day athletes now.
Yeah, exactly. Just electronic athletes, not physical, but I guess the mental work that goes into it, practicing. There's a lot of stress to deal with because it's gotten so big now that you may think that you're the best. There's probably 100 or even 1,000 people at your level that are competing for that same spot. And you need to just be the best out of all of them. There are people that are practicing 8 and 10 hours a day doing the same thing over and over just to improve one aspect of their gameplay. And if you're not willing to put in that effort, you're just going to fall behind the curve. You won't make it.
It is. It's truly a sport now. It's no longer just, you know, playing in your basement with your buds. It's for a lot of people, it's who the base of their whole life around. Like these pro athletes, you know, playing basketball or any other physical sport, they're doing the exact same, but pretty well with their minds, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing that's kind of undergone a big change too is the stigma regarding esports. I mean, it's still there. There are a lot of people that will still pick fun at people that, you know, spend their time gaming because they're nerdy or whatever it may be. But a lot of people have started to see it as something, you know, they can appreciate, something that they can look forward to their kids doing or their friends doing. Like, you want to cheer them on because it seems viable. 10 years ago, you tell your friend that, or you tell your parents that, I want to become a professional gamer. They're like, really? There's no way. It's not going to happen.
Get a load of this guy.
And now it's just like, you see so many kids, especially Valorant and Fortnite are probably the biggest examples, because there are such a young generation of people coming into this game that are just ridiculously good. You see 14 and 15 year olds that are just absolutely, undisputedly, the best player at the game. So then you see it as being a viable option. Kids are winning $500,000 prize pools. They're getting sponsorships from large corporations, maybe not on par with NBA salaries or NFL salaries, but I think it can make it, for sure.
So just to try and wrap this podcast up, I want to ask you one more question. So when we were kids, or maybe like older siblings or our parents were kids, and they were looking at athletes and, you know, competitive sports, you were always cheering for a player, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, you know, Kobe Bryant, whoever it was.
Yep.
And now with competitive gaming, that's still very much the same thing. So I want to know, who is your, like, I guess, celebrity gamer? Who is the person that you look up to when it comes to like a competitive interface?
He's not really playing that much anymore, but I used to live in Toronto. So one of the big gamers that made it to Cloud9 on Counter-Strike was Shroud. He's like one of the first people to pick up, and he's from Mississauga. So seeing like a local guy that was just so crazy at the game made it to like my favorite gaming organization. I followed them through Counter-Strike. I followed them through League. I followed them through like every game. And seeing someone that was local make it big and do really well for himself was awesome. And when he settled down from the competitive scene and took to streaming instead, he just blew up. He's doing so well. He's probably one of the top subscribed streamers on Twitch right now.
Oh, wow.
I've been subscribed to him for like the last 5 years, so I definitely say that's like my celebrity gamer that I follow. Even though he's not competitive anymore, he was like the guy that motivated me to keep playing. And I definitely don't have anywhere near the success he does, but it's still like, it's still some motivation.
It should be, I think. It's, you know, it's a good goal to strive towards.
Yeah, for sure.
That being said, we are going to wrap this up. So why don't you take this moment to plug your social media, your Twitch?
So my Twitch is twitch.tv/pornography, same as my Twitter. It's basically all my social media is pornography, every handle. So if you want to follow me, I stream a bunch of different stuff, Counter-Strike, Valorant, rhythm games, whatever is flavor of the month usually.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Pern.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.